Lord Jesus, you are amazing, amazingly beautiful. And we thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for this time to dive into your word, to come to know you more. There's so much here, and we pray that you'd open up our minds and allow us to see you more for who you are and change us by it. We pray, please give me words, your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome. Thanks for coming on this slushy morning. I'm used to talking in front of children, so we'll see how this goes. I one nice thing is I know that I'm probably not going to have to interrupt myself 5 times to tell you to please sit down in your chair and listen. So looking forward to that. But if you want to open up with me, Proverbs 31, verse 30 is where we're going to look today. I love this verse. It is, it's lovely. It's on reverence, as it says on your top of your note sheet. I'll just wait if they're grabbing some Bibles here. So, as I said, it's on reverence. I was told to talk on reverence, and it definitely is. This verse is about reverence. But as I was studying, there was something else that stuck out to me. And I think it's also about true beauty. So if you want to write that on top of your sheet, too, feel free. But I'm going to spend a good deal of time talking about both of them because they tie in together so much. This verse struck me early on in my walk, and I very much wanted to be beautiful and to be seen as beautiful, and this was a verse that obviously spoke to that, and I've loved it ever since. And as I've been studying it, I've found it is such a gold mine, and so I'm hoping that I can convey some of this to you guys. But all right, verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I like, first of all, to look at kind of the big picture of things before diving into the little details. And I noticed that this section has so many times where things are mentioned a couple times. So it talks about merchants a couple times, it talks about strength a couple times, clothing a couple times, and I think there's a reason for it. One of the things I did see was this whole passage so far hasn't spoken at all about her physical appearance. It's just about what she has done, what she does. So the closest thing I could see in here, because I was kind of digging, I'm like, does it say anything about her appearance? And it doesn't, other than that she has, if you look in verse, it does say in verse 22 that she has clothing and she's dressed with fine linen and purple. So she's got nice clothing. But then it also says in verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. So one of them is a tangible, temporal clothing, and the other is a character clothing. It's intangible. And I think that kind of sets us up for verse 30, talking about this intangible beauty, reverence, which is intangible. You can't see it, or you can't hold it, I should say. I think it's common in our culture to just say, if you're going to try to describe somebody, and you go out into a crowd, and you're like, hey, can you help me look for so-and-so? She is this tall. She's got hair about to here, and you know, rosy cheeks. You don't necessarily say, can you help me look for this lady? She's an excellent knitter. She cooks really well. She's so creative. I know we can find her here. It's our first initial reaction is more so just like, what do you see? What can you see with your eyes? But there's something else going on deeper than that here. Our culture likes to look at, or likes to, I'd say, prizes beauty. very much external beauty. We spend a lot of money on clothing, makeup, hair, shoes, even body alterations. But perhaps it's safe to say that most women do want to be beautiful and found as beautiful. And I wonder if that is a longing that God has put in our hearts to be beautiful. But the world has tainted it, and as we've been influenced by it in a not so good way. King Lemuel's mother, so she's the one who taught him this passage here in this chapter. He wrote it all down here. And but she knew that. I didn't think she knew this. And so when she was teaching him, she said, make sure that you know what to look for. Make sure you know what the true beauty that you should be looking for in a woman. And I think it's very easily, I would say as males and females, I think we're all easily led astray by appearance. Males, obviously, because they're drawn to physical beauty quickly. Females, I think it's easy for us to want to try to attract and want to put a lot of focus on that. But like King Lemuel's mother taught him, there's something else more valuable to be looking for here. So let's dig in. I'm going to unwrap this, the first part of this verse first. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Charm has, I think you can take it in two different ways. It comes from the Hebrew word that means favor or grace, and it means to give delight. Now, that's the good part of it. You know, people will say, oh, that's so charming, and that's nice. It's nice to hear that or to think that about somebody, but mostly I think it carries the negative part of it. It carries this idea of having, like, exerting power or control, manipulation, trying to arouse admiration. Some synonyms would be to attract, to allure, to enchant, or to draw another by a powerful influence. So that would be the not good part. And then you compare or put that together with deceitful, which means to be not honest, misleading others, giving false impressions. And so that obviously doesn't sound very good, but you put it together and it basically gives the impression that alluring and charm is misleading. It's not honest. It doesn't give the whole story. So usually if you come across somebody who's really lovely in looks, and you can tell that by their appearance and their clothing, their inside could be lacking. So they've spent a lot of time on their outside, but not so much concern about their character. This reminds me of another lady that's mentioned in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. She's the adulteress. And she's warned against many times not to go after or to be like her. So charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. So beauty is the quality of giving pleasure to the mind and the senses. Some synonyms are to attract, to be elegant, pretty, or lovely. And those also sound very good. I think with love or with beauty here, there's a good sense to it, just like charm, and a not so good sense to it, because it says it's vain. And vain means to have a very high opinion of yourself or your worth or your abilities. Vain also means to be empty, futile, lacking in value or purpose, produces no results. It's actually on the very next page is the book of Ecclesiastes, and the preacher here says that it's vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. And that's the exact same word that is right here in vain. It's the Hebrew word hevel, means like breath, just fleeting, worthless. So put this together, beauty is vain. Beauty, that means beauty brings no result, in the sense. Matthew Henry has a comment here on this that I thought was pretty striking. He says, beauty recommends none to God. Beauty recommends none to God, nor is it any certain indication of wisdom and goodness, but it has deceived many a man who has made his choice of a wife by it. There may be an impure, deformed soul lodged in a comely and beautiful body. So why is beauty vain? Because it's focused on the physical, and it's focused on the temporal. I have four boys at home, and one of them asked me one day, saying, Mom, if you get into a rocket ship and you take it up and up and up, can you get to heaven? And I smiled and I said, no, you will not get to heaven, because you can't get to a spiritual place in a physical way. And I think that's kind of what this verse is aiming at, or getting across here, is that this, if you're trying to get spiritual results by being physically beautiful, like dressing up your physical appearance, it's not going to work. So I think this is why, I think this is partly why in Proverbs 31 here, why her appearance is not mentioned. It's because it's her spiritual appearance that really matters. And the Lord speaks to this also in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on the appearance or the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For the Lord looks on the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So again, the Lord is looking inside. Man is so quick to look on the outside, our appearance on the outside. So having said that, I also don't think that beauty is something to just toss out the window. God does call us to be beautiful, but he calls us to be beautiful for him and in his way, not stopping with the temporal, but looking towards the eternal. And I think the rest of this verse tells us how that happens. So, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Something that's really neat is the whole book of Proverbs. If you look back at the very beginning, pretty much the first proverb talks about fearing the Lord. It's Proverbs 1:7. Says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then here at the end, pretty much the very last verse in the book of Proverbs, again, speaks to the fear of the Lord. So there's something going on here. There's something that the Lord put in the beginning right there, mentioning it, and also wanting to mention it at the end. Don't forget, there's something in here about fearing the Lord. And then also, if you look at this section about the woman herself, from verses 10 to 31, that verse in verse 10 begins talking about jewels. Jewels have worldly value and worldly preciousness. But here in verse 30, at the end, it talks about true spiritual preciousness and spiritual value. I love seeing these connections, so I'm sorry if I'm like keep belaboring these things, but like when you see that God has ordered these verses in scripture just so, there's like it's truly, this is a gold mine. Back to our verse here, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This is the thing that is going to make you and I beautiful. Beauty and charm are contrasted with the fear of God. So what is this? Let's dive in. Fear of God. Sometimes to try to figure out what something is not, or what something is, it's good to look at what it's not. So it is not cowering in fear. It's not being afraid. If you are afraid, it makes you want to run away. If there was a lion sitting in the corner of this room, I would be out that door and down the street really fast. If there was a tornado outside, I would be running away. And since it's not good to run away from God, fear of God can't mean this. It can't mean running away. Proverbs 1:7, I just read to you, it just said this. It said that fear is a good thing. It's wisdom. So it can't be something that runs away. So I think the key here is that fear is not something that cowers, but it captivates. It captivates us. It's a nearness. It's a drawing near to God in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, in our attitudes. It's a deep sense of reverence and respect, having such awe for God. But still, I think there's more, there's even more to it. It's recognizing and remembering who he is, and then letting that guide your life and your choices. So it's not just like you sit back and you say, oh, God is great, I revere him, and I think he is magnificent. But it's something, there's something there that draws you in and makes you want to live it out. It's an incessant acknowledgement of his greatness and his majesty, holding him in the highest regard that drives you to action, drives you to action. There's a Latin phrase called Coram Deo. It means, it is translated as before the face of God. And I think this is a very close connection with the fear of God here. It means to live, Coram Deo means to live with the awareness that every action is under the gaze and authority of God. And so we ought to walk in a posture of reverence and accountability to our Creator. It's to live one's entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God, to walk in fear of God, and to find your wholeness in his majesty. Because he sees all, he controls all, and he's owed our all. This is what I think I see in the Proverbs 31 woman, what sets her apart, because she is set apart as his. That's the driving force behind all she does, her sewing, her sauteing, her selling, her serving. It's the fear of God. It leads to her having better relationships with her husband, her children, her community, her servants. It gives her greater spiritual strength in verse 25, greater faith in verse 21, greater obedience in verse 27. She's not running away. She's running towards God. And those who fear him will not be afraid of him. Exodus 20:20 says, Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. I like that verse how it mentions being afraid. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. But he's come so that the fear of him may be in you. Don't run away. Draw near to him. So it doesn't make us want to cower and run away from him, but it captivates us and makes us want to linger. I am very afraid of snakes. And sometimes we get snakes in our yard. And if I catch sight of one, I will run the other way and I will shout to the boys, snake! And they come running with their shovels and they go after these snakes. Mm-hmm. And I am so thankful for them doing that. But that's the running away. I've never been to the mountains, I'm sure you guys, some of you have. But I've looked at pictures, and some pictures I've seen of these mountains, different ones around the world, I sit before them and I'm like, this is just beautiful. And it makes me want to stare longer. I don't want to just turn and walk away. It's like, oh, that's lovely. And I think that's kind of what the fear of God is. It's not the snakes, like, get me away. It's the mountain that draws, the majesty that draws you in, captivates you, makes you want to linger. Nehemiah 1:11 says, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. It ought to be a joy that we fear him because of his goodness, his wisdom, his majesty, his great mercy and forgiveness. It's the humble heart that rejoices in this and relishes in this. We want to be by him. That's the fear of God. While I was preparing for this, I also found that the Hebrew word, the same Hebrew word for being afraid, is also the same for awe and reverence. And I was like, why? These seem totally different. And, you know, to run away is this way. To draw near is this way. They're opposite. But as I thought about it, I was like, no, they're not. And I think they're not as different as I think. There are things that we are to run away from, and there are things that we are to run towards. And the fear of God should keep us from doing what we shouldn't and compel us to do what we should. It's the godly living. It should compel us to live in a godly way, and it should also help us to stay away from the sin that we should not be living in. There's other verses in Proverbs that point to a fuller picture of the fear of God, and I won't give you all the references, but these are just the descriptions of it. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom, fountain of life. It leads to life. It's the hatred of evil. It prolongs life. It's instruction in wisdom. Its reward is riches. It brings safety. And in the New Testament, in Romans 11, it says the opposite is pride. So it's this fear of God that makes this Proverbs 31 woman who she is. It motivates her to do what she does, and it makes her beautiful. I had mentioned that I think God does want us to be beautiful, to not just throw beauty out the window. And if you want to turn with me to 1 Peter 3:3-4, I did want to highlight this because I think this talks also about how we are to strive for being beautiful. The original context of this verse is how a Christian wife wants to win her unbelieving husband to Christ, and Peter says it's not going to be done through your physical appearance. We'll read here. Verse 3, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair or the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." I'm going to go to 5 and 6 here too. "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." Remember, I had mentioned the rocket ship going to heaven. You can't get spiritual beauty in the physical way. That physical beauty is vain and empty and worthless for attaining spiritual results. The outward appearance is a false beauty in God's eyes. And that's why he says here that what is very precious to him is that is the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. It doesn't say your hair has to look this way or your dress has to look this way. It's your character. It's your heart. Sarah, in verse 5 here, Sarah had a fear and awe and respect for God that she actually put into action by humbling and submitting herself. That was part of her beauty. So here, as in Proverbs 31, I don't think it means to neglect your appearance. With all these great things that the Proverbs 31 woman does, and she does many great things, I just can't see her caring about all these other things but not caring about her appearance. The difference, though, I think, is that she's not all wrapped up in it. She's not attempting to get spiritual benefits by it. But she's not frumpy. She is presentable. She's proper and modest. She has moderation in the way she dresses and her appearance. She doesn't find fulfillment in it or satisfaction by it. She knows its place, and she knows that her spiritual appearance has the priority. It's the character that should be shining from her. So, how do we get the fear of the Lord? A few thoughts on this. The first thing I would say is that an unbeliever can't have it. I don't think an unbeliever can have the fear of God, because otherwise they would be pleasing to him, and they need to come to faith. What they do have is the fear that makes them run. They have that terror, that afraidness that makes them want to run away. And so I ask, do you know him in a way that makes you want to run to him? Have you submitted your heart to him? Do you trust Jesus Christ to cleanse you from your sin? Have you repented? Do you love him? Because to the extent that you love him, you will fear him. And then I'd say pray. We can try on our own to get the fear of the Lord. but it will fail. Sorry to say that, but it will fail. It's like pushing an empty lawnmower. If you try to push it without any gas in there, you're going to have to push real hard, and you're going to have to get down, and you're going to have to spin that blade yourself, and it's going to be really hard to cut the grass. But the Holy Spirit is kind of like the fuel, the gas that goes in the mower. Once that's there, great. Rely on Him and go. And then I'd say check your beliefs. What you believe determines what you do. What you believe determines what you do. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." Do you believe this? Do you believe that He sees everything we do? Do you believe it matters? Do you hate sin? Or do you run away from it? Or do you like to kind of just dip your toes in it? Do you believe God hates sin? Do you believe your purpose is to glorify Him? Good things to search your heart. And also just don't forget, Romans 21 through 22 talks about people who forget God and what happens. It says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." Verse 28 says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done." Forgetting to acknowledge God leads to downfall. In the mornings, I like to give my children a good morning hug. So they all know that I will be waiting there to give them a good morning hug. And my littlest one, he's 6, he likes to cuddle. And so I'll be cooking in the kitchen, and he'll come out, and I'll hold my arms out, and I'll crouch down. And he curls up on my lap, and I just hold him. And I might have a spatula in my hand, I might have onions all over my fingers, but he just sits there. And then when he gets his fill, he walks away. But sometimes he knows I'm sitting there with my arms wide open and waiting, and he will, with a smile, he'll kind of look at me out of the corner of his eye, and he'll walk right past me. To which I get up, and I run after him, and I say, "You did not get your good morning hug." What if we were like that? What if we got up in the morning and we just said, "I'm not going to talk to anybody today." And everyone, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, they say, "Hey, how are you doing? Good morning." And you don't say anything. They might start to think something was wrong. And I think we oftentimes do this with God. How often do you acknowledge Him? From the time you get up, all throughout the day, to the time you go to bed? Are we remembering Him? Don't forget. Don't forget who He is. Don't forget what He has done for you, how the gospel frees you from your sins, His great love for you. Don't forget that He's prepared a place in heaven for you. Don't forget, but remember, not just day by day, but minute by minute. So are there any benefits to physical beauty? I would say are short-term. You get older, things sag, turn gray, you get wrinkles, you get skin spots. But spiritual beauty not only doesn't fade, but it grows more beautiful as we follow Him in fear and reverence. Eternally beautiful is the one who reverences God with her life. This is what crowns her character. This is the sum all of the portrait of this godly woman. This is wisdom. Let it be the sum all of your life, that you fear the Lord. If you want to be wise, you must have this, the fear of the Lord. And if you want to be beautiful, you must have this. Walk in fear of Him. So be beautiful for your Lord. Let's pray. Our Lord, what a treasure chest you have in this one single verse, how you call us to put our eyes on you, to be captivated by your great majesty. Would you do that in us? Would you do that more, that we wouldn't forget you, we wouldn't forget all the things you have done for us, and it would continue to draw us in closer and closer to you. Make us beautiful, not in the world's eyes, but in your eyes, for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.